Hello and welcome to the American Magazine podcast. This week we feature a special interview that Father Raymond Schroth conducted with Jeremy Ben-Ami, a founder and the president of J Street, a Jewish lobby in Washington, D.C. Father Schroth began the conversation by asking Mr. Ben-Ami to describe the beginnings of J Street.
Well, I think the two biggest experiences are two anecdotes that I tell in the book.
Yeah.
And they were both after I came back from living in Israel.
Yeah.
And I was getting re-engaged in American politics.
Mm-hmm.
And the first one was working with the New York City mayoral campaign of Mark Green
mm-hmm.
in 2000 and 2001. And when I lived in Israel, I was a consultant to Peace Now, which is the main, and certainly was then, a
mm-hmm.
huge pro-peace grassroots movement in
mm-hmm.
Israel. And they have an American Friends group called Americans for Peace Now.
Mm-hmm.
And I was very proud that my boss, the man running for mayor, had actually made a contribution to Americans
mm-hmm.
for Peace Now and had gone to their dinner, and I went actually to the dinner as well. And then he took incredible political heat from some of the folks who are on the right about that contribution. And the political wisdom was, oh my goodness, you better, you know, make right by those folks. You know, you need to do something to make up for what you've done, as if it were a mistake or as if it were something he had done wrong.
His mistake was giving money to the peace group.
And I just couldn't believe that, you know, this is where the conversation stood in, you know, the United States in the 21st century. Where in Israel, this, you know, was an organization that could get hundreds of thousands of people out on the streets and was a purely mainstream group.
Mm-hmm.
And here you essentially had to apologize for supporting them. So that was sort of one, you know, to see how a mayoral candidate with no foreign policy brief, you know, was sort of boxed in on this. And then the second one was with Howard Dean when I was working on his presidential campaign, which was the 2004 presidential campaign. But the incident took place in 2003. And this was about 2 years after the mayoral race. And once again, the person I was working for said something completely normal and centrist and mainstream, which was...
Dean himself said
something along the lines of, and it happened exactly in the book as I looked the quote back up, but the essence of it was that the United States needs to be more even-handed in the way that it approaches the Middle East,
mm-hmm.
and if it's going to help Israel to make peace, and that Israeli settlements are a problem. Neither of which struck me as, you know, mm-hmm. anywhere outside of either the mainstream in Israel or the mainstream in the U.S.,
mm-hmm.
and yet it opened up this flood, and really something I had never seen before in at that point, 20 years of working in American politics, of anger and pressure, and the amount of time that he had to spend assuaging people,
mm-hmm.
You know, and assuring them that he was really a supporter of Israel and there was no issue. You know, and this from a man whose wife was Jewish and was raising Jewish kids and, you know.
I remember that,
So those two things just really set me off in the sense of what J Street is all about, which is that we've got to correct the political dynamics.
You had no sense of this before?
I worked on domestic policy.
Yeah.
You know, I did welfare reform and healthcare reform and education.
Yeah.
I didn't do foreign policy. It wasn't my area. And, you know, homeless housing, and that's what I had done in my whole career. And I had been President Clinton's deputy domestic policy advisor. The only time that I would brief Jewish groups was they would come to the White House. It was funny, last night I went to the Hanukkah party at the White House, and they offered these briefings during the day for all of the people who came in from out of town from the various White House offices. And I used to do that. You know, that was my role with the Jews, was I would go in and talk about education or whatever, you know, the domestic issues were at the moment. But I didn't talk about Israel, and I didn't deal with it on a professional basis.
Yeah.
And then, you know, 1995 happened, and Rabin got assassinated, and I sort of got a bug in my head that I've got to get some time and exposure to Israel firsthand, and I lived in Israel for about 3 years in the late 90s. So it wasn't until I came back from that that I started to engage in Israel professionally and to focus more on foreign policy and to think about these issues.
How are you doing in the sense of progress of J Street itself, membership, Is membership growing?
Well, you know, we started out 3+ years ago in my basement. Mm-hmm. It was me and a couple of other staff people and a laptop computer, and that was it. Mm-hmm. And in the course of 3.5 years, we've grown from, zero to 180,000 supporters. We're raising over $7 million this year. Mm-hmm. We have 50 staff, over 50 staff now, in 8 cities around the country. Mm-hmm. We have 40 local chapters. We have 50 college campuses where we're active. So there's a vibrant movement in just 3 years. And we really are, I think, helping to define the discussion when it comes to Israel in a way that was absent 3 years ago.
Are there groups within the group? Everybody thinks the same on everything?
No, I mean, you know, no group of human beings all thinks the same on everything, and certainly no group of Jews.
Yeah,
right. So, you know, I would say that we span the spectrum from, you know, on the political spectrum, from a little bit to the right of center, just there are people who are just to the right of center, to people who are fairly far left. And, mm-hmm. you know, I think that's what the makeup is of our list and our members. And, mm-hmm. you know, there's one fundamental commitment, which is that people are committed to the survival of Israel mm-hmm. As a Jewish homeland mm-hmm. And a democracy. But there's a lot of disagreement within any group about how to get there.
Yeah.
But that's the fundamental thing that unites us.
But when you say Jewish, what, a homeland, state?
I say homeland. You know, my book is titled Jewish Nation.
Yeah.
We generally do not use the phrase Jewish state because it should be a state of all its citizens.
Yeah.
And that's what states are. States are the legal and civic entity of which citizens are a part.
Yeah.
You know, nations are more ethnic and tribal and, homeland for a nation, but it, as a state, has to provide equal rights for everybody who lives there. And so we are very conscious that we're fighting for an Israel that is both a Jewish homeland and a democracy for all its citizens.
With what confidence do you use that word democracy? You know, a lot of what I've read is that's up for grabs.
Oh, it is up for grabs. That's what we're fighting for.
Yeah.
I use it with all confidence in that.
Yeah.
That was the vision of the founders of the State of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's inscribed in the Declaration of Independence that Israel is to be a nation, that a state, that it provides equal treatment for all its citizens, regardless of race, religion, and ethnicity.
Yeah.
And it doesn't do that. And so we're fighting to uphold and to carry out the vision of the founders of Israel.
Now, what is the biggest obstacle to real democracy?
Well, I think the biggest obstacle is that there is a group of people in Israel and here in the United States who subscribe to the notion that the single most important thing for Israel is to have as much land as possible
mm-hmm.
And to at all costs hang on to and expand control over that land.
Mm-hmm.
And in doing so, they are sacrificing Israel's democratic character. And I think that philosophy of sort of the greater Israel school of thought
uh-huh.
is the greatest threat that Israel has to its long-term democratic future.
Right.
And, you know, we often say that, and I talk about this in the book, that Israel has to make a choice among three things.
Yeah.
You know, it can have all of that land, it can be Jewish in character and nature,
mm-hmm.
and it can be a democracy.
Mm-hmm.
Those are three things on the table, but it can mm-hmm. only be two of the three. And it can be Jewish and democratic if it gives up some of the land to create a Palestinian state.
Mm-hmm.
It can be Jewish and hang on to all the land, but then it can't be democratic. And it can be democratic and hang on to all the land, but then it can't be Jewish.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're going to let everybody vote, then it's not going to be a Jewish homeland anymore. So those are the choices. There's no other way to cut the pie. You have to choose two of the three. And so hanging on to the land is the biggest obstacle. You know, if you have a two-state solution and you take the West Bank and Gaza and you create a Palestinian state, then the remainder of Israel can be both Jewish and democratic, and it will give democratic rights to the 20% because the demographics,
you know,
the the number of people that live between the Jordan and the Mediterranean now
yeah.
is roughly 11 million, give or take 100,000 or 200,000.
Mm-hmm.
5.5 million of those are Jews,
mm-hmm.
and 5.5 million of those are not Jews. That's where it stands right now.
Yeah.
And that's 11 million people. But the demographics yeah. are that the non-Jewish population is going to continue to grow much faster than the
yeah.
Jewish population.
Yeah.
So if they hang on to all this land in 10, 20, 30 years, there'll be a minority of Jews controlling a majority of non-Jews. And mm-hmm. either you give everybody the vote, in which case the Jews will lose the
yeah.
political control, or you say not the majority can't yeah. vote and doesn't have rights. But again, that 20% is within the 1967 lines. Yeah. You know, that's the state of Israel and its citizens doesn't include the West Bank and Gaza.
Right.
So the 20% is just within the state of Israel proper in pre-67 lines.
Yeah. So the one state solution, you don't buy into.
Well, I don't use the term even because yeah. there is no such thing.
Well,
you know,
it's a proposal.
Well, the concept of one state is not a solution. One state is a formula for ongoing civil war.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because these two people both want control, mm-hmm. and no one's going to step back voluntarily and just give the other side control. I mean, we mm-hmm. know that. The problem with the concept of one state is that you have Jews and Palestinians, neither of whom consider themselves to be part of the same country.
Right.
And so you can never get that kind of an approach. I mean, it's you know, there's a theoretical mm-hmm. academic line of argument about this, but it in reality yeah. would never, ever work.
But even with the 20% Arab population, would you consider them second-class citizens?
Well, there's a huge inequality.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of work to be done
yeah.
to bring many aspects of Israel aside. I mean, the inequalities for Arab citizens is one piece of the inequalities. There's
yeah.
a huge inequality between those who live in the couple of major cities, sort of the center of the country, and the periphery.
Mm-hmm.
There's the economic gaps in Israel between the rich and the poor
yeah.
are the second highest in the world, in the developed world, after the United States. So they've got huge inequalities on the economic front, on the religious front, on the ethnic front, on the geographic front. So there's an enormous amount of work to be done. This summer, there was these enormous demonstrations in Israel,
yeah.
Which were finally a sort of explosion
mm-hmm.
Of public frustration over the inequalities.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was the first time that there's been real public focus on that in Israel. I mean, you know, the biggest threat to Israeli democracy is this group of people that wants to hang on to the land.
Yeah.
The only solution to Israeli, to Israel's survival, and as I said before, you know,
mm-hmm.
as a Jewish homeland that is democratic, the only way to do that is in
yeah.
a two-state solution.
Yeah.
You know, the only way to do it is a peaceful resolution mm-hmm. of this conflict that results in two states for two people living side by side in peace and security. That's the only way to assure Israel's future.
There we go.